So today's message is called, Are You Ready? Are You Ready? So I told Sunday school class this morning that Tuesday, when I was teaching at school, we sing songs, right? Mostly a cappella with a tambourine. We sang I'll Fly Away. So the pastor was doing it. He made some comments, right? Are you going to be glad? Are you going to be glad if you get some bad news? Right? Are you going to be glad if you get a report that says you only have a week to live? Holy Spirit said, you need to do a message on this. And I said, I'm going to do a message on that.
So,
this is the message. But really, are you ready? Right? Are you ready? And we're going to talk about being ready. We're going to talk about being ready. When you get ready to go on a vacation, what do? Make plans? You pack? Right? What else can we do?
Have to have money.
I've got to have money. Huh?
Call off work.
Call off work. Some of us call off work. But really, we make preparations, right? We make preparations. We do things to be prepared to go on a trip. We're going on two trips, one at the end of the month and then one in November, right? So as a pastor, I got to be prepared. Well, not so much in October because we'll be back. I got to prepare for somebody to teach Bible study. I got to prepare for somebody to give the message, right, in November. So we have to do that. We have to look ahead and make preparations. But really, how would you react if you received bad news about your health? How would you react? Would you be like, I'm ready, God, take me home?
Yeah.
To be honest with you,
yes,
I'm ready. Do I want to go right now? No, but I cannot wait to meet Jesus.
Right. Amen.
In person. Face to face. To see him in all his glory. Would you be afraid? Would you be afraid? Would you be afraid if you got bad news?
No.
Shouldn't be. Right? We shouldn't be. Where's your house built at? Is it built on a solid rock? Or is it built on sand? We're going to talk about that because as we were in Sunday school, God kind of changed the message on me. Along the same lines, but stuff that I didn't see, right?
I. See how that I works? If you were to die today, would you know for certain that you're going to be with God eternally?
Yes.
Are you 100% sure?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We need to be. We need to be. We need to be absolutely 100% sure. How do we know? How do we know? Well, the Bible tells us how we can be sure. The Bible tells us. But when we see this song, right? Some glad morning when my life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial. Sure. I'll fly away when I die. Hallelujah. Are we singing hallelujah for when our day comes? Because we don't know when it is. Right? Talking to my aunt the other day. She's ready for dirt nap. You're allowed to laugh because that was her. Right? Are we ready for a dirt nap? Right? Figure speaking, right? Figure speaking. But, and then I was looking at the rest of those lyrics, and wow, wow, we need to be ready. So 1 John 5:13 tells us how we can be sure. These things I've written to you
who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. If it's possible to 100% know, I'd want to know, right? Wouldn't you? We can and do know through God's holy word, right? And we know in our heart. But there's a big difference. We can be head saved. As who in the Bible was head saved? And then give us a message. Judas. Yeah. Judas thought, sure, he was going to heaven. He was doing miracles. He was doing everything that the rest of the apostles were doing. But he seen Jesus in a different way. We have to have that relationship. We have to have that in our heart. We know that we're going to be with God. But today I'd like to share with you what the Bible says about being ready. See, it's my calling as a pastor to make sure you know how to be ready. Right? It's your job to get and be ready as Christians. I can only do so much. Right? That's your personal relationship with Jesus Christ that gets you ready. I can lead you. Right? As a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Under shepherd, forgive me, Jesus. But still a shepherd. Right? But it's up to you. So, let me ask you this. This is sobering. Suppose you come before Jesus and he asked you, why should I let you into heaven? Think about it. You die, your last breath here, your next breath, you're kneeling in front of Jesus. I don't care if you're saved or not, you're going in front of Jesus first. And he determines where you're going. But what if he said, why should I let you into heaven? What are you going to say? How would you answer him? Right? Some might answer, well, Jesus, I kept all the Ten Commandments. Well, Jesus, I attended church regularly. I went every day. Every Sunday, every day, I went into the church and I prayed. Which we talked about the whole prayer thing last week in Bible study, right? So, I was a good moral person. I helped people cross the street. I opened doors for people. Right? Or, I was a really good neighbor, Jesus. I was a good neighbor. Right? I did all the right things. Yeah. See, these and similar answers imply an understanding that salvation is earned. That salvation is earned. And these are works-based answers. They're works-based. Jesus, I did this. Jesus, I did that. Right? It's not what he wants to hear. He's going to say, I never knew you. Bye-bye. Right? But his heart is going to be broke. His heart's going to be broke. We don't think Jesus just stands there and says, depart from me, I never knew you. Nonchalantly. His heart will be broken. We're going to see throughout this message how and why his heart will be broken. Because of his will. Because of his will that he wants done. But the good news, the gospel of the Bible, is that eternal life's a gift. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything. But if you're truly saved, Jesus won't ask that question. Why should I let you into heaven? He's going to say, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Amen? That's what we want to hear. Amen. That's what we want to hear. You know, as a gift, it's not that something that we can earn or deserve. And Romans 6:23b, the second part, says the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. But why is it eternal life a gift? Why is it a gift? Why would we get gifts from Jesus? Yeah, he loves us, right? It's a gift. The answer lies in the understanding our problem with sin. And God knows there is a need of grace because of sin, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Every single person, but who has sinned? Jesus. We've all have sinned. See, sin is violating the law of God. Right? Sin's failing to do what is right. We talked about that last week in unconfessed sin in James 4:17. If we know what's right and we fail to do it, sin. But all of our sin are different. My sin is not the same as your sin or your sin or your sin. We all have different sins, but yet we all have common sins. Right? The Bible tells us that. Everyone has sinned in some way. And the Bible describes the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. That's in 6:23a. So put them together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God knows that the wages of sin has to be death. So in this scripture right here, we have the wrath of God, which is death, but also the grace of God and the love of God, and it's a gift, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have both in one scripture, the love of God and the wrath of God. And we have to know this, that we have that, right? But what kind of death are we talking about? Well, as Christians, we don't have to worry about that death. Why? Because this is our receipt, right? Sin, Jesus paid for. Shame, Jesus paid for. Pain, paid for. Past mistakes, paid. Rejection, loneliness, paid. Slavery to sin, paid. Spiritual death, paid. Amount due, zero. There's nothing we can do to have these paid for. It comes from Christ alone.
Amen.
We need to realize that. Right? We need to look at this. And this is just a minute of what he's taken away from us. Mm-hmm. From the cross. It's just minute. But the death we're talking about is an everlasting separation from God. Whole. I don't want to be there. Revelation 28 says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Have you done any of these? Let me go back. Cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Have you done any of these sins? Just a few, maybe? We all have. We all have done every one of them. Because James 2:10-11 says, we're guilty if we commit one, we commit them all. Sin is sin, right? Sin is sin. But think about it. Sin wouldn't be so attractive if the wages had to be paid immediately. Right? For the wages of sin is death. Those have to be paid right now. Sin wouldn't be so attractive. It wouldn't be. Right? Oh, I sinned. I'm going to die right now. Ananias and Sapphira sinned in Acts, where they came up to Peter and they sold all their land and they kept just a little bit for themselves and gave the rest to God. Right? What happened? Poof! They were both dead. They were both dead. The wages of their sin. Was it withholding money? Absolutely no. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to God. Poof. Wages of sin is death. So, yeah. It wouldn't be so attractive. And that's something we ought to think about, right? So, if we're about to commit a mortal sin, which is commission, right? We talked about that last week. Omission, commission. Think about it. What happens if we would sin right now and we would be poof? Right? Or the old, what would Jesus do? Right? What would Jesus do in this situation? Try it for a week. Try it for a week. I watched a movie, and it was a B movie, but it was really good. And this church group did that for like a month. None of them made it past like 3 days. Can you imagine what he goes through? What he sees, what he does, the decisions that he has to make? I wouldn't want to do that. Right? I wouldn't want to do that. But think about it. Think about it. But while everyone's guilty of sin and deserving of death, there is hope in the solution of grace. Amen? So, God offers the gift of life. In mercy, God offers the gift of eternal life. And he does this through the death of his son. Out of love, God sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sin. On the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sin. Pay it. Paid it. Through his death, Jesus made eternal life possible. What a wonderful love. What a wonderful gift. Yet sadly, few receive the gift of life. Few receive it. Because many what? They don't look for it. They don't look for it. Matthew 7, 13, 14 says, oh, by the way, the call to worship was my bad. It says Luke, but it's really Matthew. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are a few who find it. Got a wide road, right? It's full of the world. It's full of worldly people, right? Many are on it. Many. But then we got the narrow road. How many's on the narrow road with us? Two. Me and Jesus. Right? Because it's about the relationship. It's about your relationship with Jesus and the road that you're on to glorify him. It's wide enough just for you and him. Who cares when everybody can take that back? We need to worry about ourselves, but share the word of God. Matthew 7, 21, 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's that standing, kneeling in front of Jesus, right? And this comes straight from the lips of Jesus. That's head saying. That's Judas. Right? Judas did all these things. That's head saying. This isn't heart saying. And some are on the wide road because they're only head saying. They think they're saved. And that's the hardest person to share Jesus with. That they think they're insane. Because they think, I'm good. I don't need to hear that. I'm already saved. I'm already saved. But they haven't done the Father's will. They haven't done the Father's will. And though they may do many things in the name of Jesus, but remember, doing things, right? Doing things doesn't bring eternal life. It says, we have not prophesied, cast out demons, all this. We've done all these things, all these works. It doesn't bring eternal life. Only those who do the Father's will have eternal life. And that's receiving Jesus. That's the Father's will. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his will. none shall perish. And that all things. We need to do that. We need to share with people. What's the Father's will? That we might receive the gift of eternal life. And that's what we need to share. We got to believe in Jesus. We got to believe in Him who God has sent. Believing in Christ involves more than a mental consent, right? Can't just be a mental consent. It has to be a heart change. It has to be a heart change. This is how we get ready, right? This is how we get ready. You know, we don't... How are we to express our faith in Christ? Well, we got to repent, right? True repentance is a change of heart which will result in a change of life. A change brought on by sorrow for our sins. We got to have a godly sorrow to have a change of life. That's how we get ready. See, we don't have to pack our bags. We don't have to line babysitters up. We don't have to get people to watch our animals. We don't have to do none of that. I think ferns get going. It's funny to do it better than we can. We don't have to do any of that. Right? We don't have to do any of that. We just have to make our heart right for Jesus and accept Him. That's all we need to fly away. That's all we need. Right? But when we get sick and we have our worries, right? Our call to worship says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine does not do them, I will liken him to the wise man who built his house on the rock. Where's your house built? Where's your house built? Is your house built on the rock? So yes. That when we get sick, we have financial troubles, we have family troubles, we go through all this worldly stuff, where's your house built? Are you ready? Are you ready not only for eternal life, but are you ready when those problems come, the sicknesses come, the tragedies come? Are you ready? Where's your house built? Where's your house built? Right? Is it built on that rock? Or is it built on sand? And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat that house. The devil's going to beat your house every day. He is going to beat it every day. Are you ready for that barrage with those fiery darts and him kicking the door down like the wolf with the three little pigs? Right?
Yes.
Wood, straw, brick. Which house is yours? Don't let the big bad wolf come blow your house out. Don't let him blow your house out. Be ready. Be ready. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. You've got to be ready.
Amen.
For the enemy to attack. Because he's going to attack. He's going to attack. And the word says, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. If your house is on the rock, it will not fall. And that's Jesus Christ.
That's how we get ready.
We got to make sure our house is built on the right house and not on the wrong house. So, there's a couple spiritual truths, and I think I'm going to finish up with this. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. But mainly there is no condemnation in Christ. We don't have to have that sin. We don't have to have that shame. We don't have to have that guilt. No condemnation. He took it all on the cross. That's where our house needs to go. That's where we need to reign. To be either getting bombarded from the devil or being Jesus, right? So how do we get in Him, right? How do we get in Him? See, it's one thing to believe in Jesus, but it's quite another to get into Jesus. Well, how do you get into Him? The same way you get into the coat. Put it on. You got to put on Jesus. We get into Jesus by putting him on. Galatians 3, 26, 27 says, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." See, everyone who has received Jesus has been baptized into Christ. There's six different baptisms. The only one you need to have is baptism in Christ. You got to receive him. You got to receive him. Which means if you accepted him, you put him on. Those who are not saved have not yet put on Christ. Their house is still built on sand. Right? When we put on Christ, our sins are cut away. Our hearts are circumcised. We're new creations. We're made alive and forgiven. And this isn't a work of righteousness done to earn salvation, but an act of faith submitted in order to receive God's grace and mercy. Are you ready? Titus 3, 5 and 7. "Not by righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." There's nothing you can do in this whole world that's going to give you salvation. Nothing. We have to be ready. As you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. So walk in him. Revelation 3:20, and this spoke to me this morning. We were doing our Sunday school. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me by my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Jesus is... knocking. Jesus is knocking on every single person in this whole world. Knocking on their door. They got to open it to be ready. They got to be open to be ready. Right? We have to be ready. Right? We have to. We have to set ourselves up to be ready when that sickness comes. Not if. When a sickness comes. When a tragedy comes. When everything comes. Right? With everything that I've been going through, it took a specialist to figure out what might be wrong with me. I'm okay. I'm okay. I have peace. I'm okay with it. It's been in pain for 2.5 months, but I'm okay. Right? Because I know God's in control. If he wants to heal me, he'll heal me. If he doesn't, I have him to walk with me through it. My house is built on the rock. Amen?
Amen.
I'm ready for when tragedy comes. And I often think about, what if? What if this happens? How am I going to handle it? What if that happens? How am I going to handle it? I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because of the rock. He's going to handle it. He will handle it. He will give me comfort. He will give me healing. Right? But we have to be ready. We just can't walk through life. Right? We have to be ready. We have to be ready. Are you going to be glad on that day that you're going to go be with him? Or are you going to pray your guts out to stay here on earth instead of going to be with him?
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
We all are afraid of things we're going to leave behind. Right? Our families, our kids, our grandkids. We all are afraid of that. Imagine what we're going to do in heaven.
Amen.
With Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be on God's list for sure. Amen. Do I want to die today? No. I don't. But I'm afraid to if it happens right now. No, I'm not. Talk to somebody very dear with me about this. It's not afraid of dying part. It's about going through, right? Some of us go through cancer and sickness, and others just drop over dead, right? If our house is built on a rock, if we're ready to meet Jesus, if we're ready, then He's going to get us through that pain. He's going to get us through that suffering. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I might have one more slide up here. I don't know.
Nope. So what do we got to do to be ready? Main thing is nothing. We have to believe in Jesus. We have to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. For anybody in here that hasn't done that, then I ask that you come on. No, this is end slide. So, but if anybody needs prayer, I ask you to come up.
And allow me to pray with you through
the Holy Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just be ready. My job is to show you how to get ready. It's your job to get ready. You see all these shows, right? Preppers.
Don't get ready for the end of the world.
Right? We have water. We have food stashed. Right? Not for when Jesus comes back, because we're going to be gone. But look at the state of the world. Right? And what's one thing that everybody talks about? Cashless society. On the news this morning, it's in the House. They're talking about making this country cashless. Cashless society. It's coming. But more than that, Jesus is coming. We have to be ready. We have to be ready.
So I asked it, if you want to come up for prayer, come on up. I've got to shut my microphone off. And pause this.
That's how Jesus wants us. He wants us to come broken. He wants us to come hurt. He wants us as we are. No faith, no nothing. He wants us just as we are. Don't ever be afraid to go to Him. Let Him be your solid rock on which you stand. That's what it is. Father God, we thank you again, Lord, for this day. Lord, I ask that you bless each and every person here, Lord, just to give them what they need, Lord. I lift them all up to you, Lord, for provision, for spiritual growth, for healing. Lord, let them go boldly out of this place to proclaim your good news. Strengthen each one of them, Lord. You know what they need. Lord, I ask that they come to you as they are. No walls. Come pure in heart. Lord, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift you up, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I ask now that you all go in God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.